stand. That's why we do it. Amen. But Wendy Jo and we have been working with Reformers Now Missionaries for almost 3 years. And we'll say more about that tonight. But if you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. And boy, I appreciate the song service. Amen. The special was awesome. It was. Man, if that didn't, boy, if that didn't set you on fire, your wood's wet. Amen. And that was good. That's good. I wish I could play piano. I do. I can't even play radio. I have a smartphone. I have the dumbest smartphone in the world. Anybody can witness to that, man? I mean, it's supposed to do everything. It does nothing. And everybody says it's me, but maybe so. But anyway, it's good to be here. How many would rather be here this morning than in church? I mean, let's rewind that one. Amen. How many would rather be here than in jail? I was at, we did a jail ministry for the longest time at Gospel Light, and I did that one. I said, how many would rather be here than in jail? One guy looked at me and goes, oh, we're not in jail? You know, I said, well, you are. But we also have three talks, and we'll talk more about that tonight. Talk. First talk's where you have prayer and testimony time. Second talk's where you divide up men with men, women with women. I was in the jail one night with all these men. And, you know, sometimes your mouth gets going faster than your brain can keep up with. And I said, now, in a few moments, we'll divide my group, men with men, women with women. The guy in the back goes, can I go with the women? No, you can't. Amen. But anyway, so I met where's the young man? Okay, he might have went home. So, celebrate anniversary, married. There he is in the back. Is that you? How many years? 56 years of marriage. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that makes me think of the couple who celebrate their 50th anniversary, and they were having a party at their home, and son called the dad over and said, Dad, I said, man, I said, 50 years, that's a long time. That's phenomenal. He said, Dad, you know, can you give me some pointers? Dad said, well, I'll tell you what helped us. He said, when your mom and I, we got married, we went to the Grand Canyon for our honeymoon. He said, we got to the Grand Canyon, we rented 3 mules. He said, we started, got on the mules. I helped mom on, and I got on. She started going down. Her mule tripped. She slapped that mule and said, that's one. Said, we got going down. It got almost halfway, and that mule tripped again, and she slapped that mule and said, that's two. She said, son, we got all the way to the bottom, and that mule slipped and threw your mom off. Said, your mom went into the backpack, grabbed the .357 Magnum, shot that mule, and said, that's three. Said, I looked at your mom and said, woman, what are you doing? She said, that's one. So I guess, brother, you didn't make it to those three. Amen. But Deuteronomy chapter 9 this morning. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We deal with the people, not just the addicted, but we are a recovery program who helps people to be restored. Amen. The Bible talks a lot about restoring folks. Amen. Yes. And so tonight we're going to talk more about restoring folks and how to help them. And we'll go into more detail about how we got into the ministry and what God has done through in us. You ever go and visit people when you left? You went to be a blessing to them, and they were more of a blessing to you than you were to them. And we go on Friday nights to different RUs, and we go there, you know, wanting to help people. And I'll be honest with you, 9 out of 10 times we leave there with more help because we see what God is doing in people's lives. You know, God wants us to be happy. Amen. Psalm 1, we talk about that night. Psalm 1 says, blessed. That word blessed means happy. God wants us to be happy. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why more Christians don't smile. You know that? I mean, I've been in churches, brother, where I've sat on the platform, we sang Victory in Jesus. And man, it ain't victory within 100 miles. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they look like their pet goldfish got run over. It's terrible. I mean, life's just cruel. You know what I'm saying? But we ought to be happy. Amen? I mean, hey, listen, if you're saved, say amen. Man, you're on your way to heaven. Can I be honest? Can I let you in on a secret? If you're saved this morning, this is as bad as it gets. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, man, you ought to leave here today shouting. I mean, it won't matter whether your favorite team wins or loses. This is as bad as it gets. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. We were out after the first week, so I don't care. Amen? But hey, I mean, hey, listen, I'm excited. We're excited. Is life always easy? Not on your life. Someone come with my wife and I not long ago and go, oh, I would love to do what you do. Y'all get to travel and have so much fun. We're in a Ford Taurus packed out wall to wall. We're not having fun. I mean, we are having fun. Well, let me go back. Man, I need to, brother, I need to start over, don't I? Maybe I need to sit down here and introduce me again. Amen. But I mean, it's not all, you know, it's not always fun, but it's enjoyable. I mean, life's not always fun, but we should enjoy it. Amen. I mean, we ought to have fun. Christians ought to be the happiest person on face. I mean, we ought to be happy as all get out. How many believe that?
Amen.
Some of you need to tell your face. You preach, you know what I'm talking about, man. You get up there and you start preaching, you're telling truth, and people sit back going, really? You know it's true. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You're the same. You know what I'm talking about. Man, we ought to be excited about Christian life. I mean, my wife and I, we were in the vehicle for a long time, and I said this in Sunday school. We used to, when we travel, we used to stop every so often for coffee, because my wife wanted coffee, and when my wife wants coffee, I get coffee. My wife got away from God's will and now stopped drinking coffee. We don't stop half as much anymore. You know, because, you know, how many husbands know this? You want something, but you always ask your wife first. Would you like coffee? Because you know if she wants it, you got it. I don't even do it no more. I just go, we ain't going to have coffee. I mean, that's why I'm as bitter as I am right now. I'm just kidding. But Deuteronomy chapter 9. So I'm just glad to be here. Amen. I think that the world is right where God wants it. We're right where God wants us to be. So I don't, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. A few months ago when ISIS come or whatever, however they call it. I call it ISIS. But anyway, whenever it came out, I got thinking, what in the world? And then I got to realize, wait a minute, God's in control.
That's right.
And everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. How do you know? Read the last book. We won.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, all we have to do is endure till the end. And I believe when we endure, we ought to have fun. I do. I believe we ought to enjoy life. I believe that we don't need to worry, pout. I mean, you know, just realize that, man, you know what? We're waiting for the trump to sound. And if it happens today, praise the Lord. Amen. If it happens tomorrow, praise the Lord. But whenever it happens, we ought just be, you know, here's what I want. I want to go to heaven smiling. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'd love to go to heaven. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine preacher leading that person to Christ, and just as that person prays, that believes and prays that prayer, go to heaven? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, I know preachers who like to play golf. I'm not against golf. Anybody play golf? Brother Eddie, do you really? I remember the first time I was in New York City with John Morgan. Never played golf in my life, and Pastor John Morgan said, man, I'm going to take the staff golfing. I'm like, oh, great. I didn't know how to stand. I didn't know how to swing. I knew nothing. And he goes, I said, preacher, he goes, oh, it's relaxing. You want to tell me how you can go to the golf course with 12 balls and after the second hole have none left and it's relaxing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, boy, they tell you to line up and swing. Well, you get up there and you're, and I've seen men, they just hit that ball, go, and I'm like, whoa. And boy, I got up there and I hit that ball. It went over there. It wasn't my fault, it was the wrong club. But I think we ought to have fun. By the time, I've played four times, I've gone from losing 12 balls to only losing two. Well, I only took two, so it don't matter. No, I'm just kidding, but anyway. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 9. If you don't have it by now, just look as intelligent as you can. We'll be okay, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 9, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 9:1, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations and greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Amorites whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard said, Who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee, as a consuming fire, he will destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. This morning, I want to talk to you on facing your giants. Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to just say the words that are glorifying to you. Father, I don't know who's in this room this morning, but Lord, if there's anybody in this room this morning who's not saved, dear God, may the convicting power of this message be on their life and they put their faith and trust in you before they leave this building this morning. Lord, maybe there's some Christians here this morning who are hurting, and Lord, maybe even some ready to give up. Lord, help it to be uplifting to them. Lord, may we leave here today saying it was good to be in thy house. Lord, not because I preached, but because you met with us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our RU program has a success rate of between 80 and 85%. And the reason we have a success rate of 80 to 85% is not because of the program, but because of, through the program, men, women, and boys and girls who come to our program get help. And I say that, men and women, boys and girls, because we're living in a day now where, I remember growing up, the worst problem we had in school was maybe a fight every once in a while. We never had the problems that teenagers face today. And so we have a lot of young people who are struggling today. A few months ago, about 6-7 months ago, we were in Camden, New Jersey. We were up with Brother Charlie Clark, and we were with their RU, went out to dinner with their RU director and his wife. And he was telling me about how the heroin has gotten so big in Camden, New Jersey area. He said, Brother Bobby, he said a few weeks ago, they closed both hospital emergency rooms two consecutive weekends because of the heroin overdose amongst the teenagers in this area. And he said, Brother Bobby, during that time, two young ladies, one 12 and one 14-year-olds, overdosed and died. One of those young ladies who died was a member of their church who had gone out with some friends that weekend and had never done it before in her life. And you know how kids are. Boy, do it. Oh, if you really, do it, And we all been under peer pressure. And she did it, and that night overdosed and died. And I said all that to say this. You might be here this morning and you might say, well, I don't have a drug addiction. I don't have an alcohol addiction. But, truth of the matter, a sin is addictive. We have all kinds of books on our table, and all those books on our table are written by a medical doctor. They're not written by a preacher, even though now he is on staff at a church. But Dr. Crabb, a medical doctor who has wrote these books by experience of dealing with people. Alcohol and acid, and goes on down gambling and cutting. Cutting's very, very big now, not just what used to be with teenagers, but it's grown into our homes. We were in Wetumpka, Alabama 3 years ago, and a young lady walked up to us and said, can you pray for a friend of mine? She goes to my school. And by the way, this young lady went to a Christian school. And this young lady who was now, they found out that at age of 12 years old was cutting, was in a Christian school in a very good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. Her dad was a deacon. Her mom was a Sunday school teacher of this church. But she just felt like on the outside, she was not happy with herself on the inside. She felt like no one loved her and felt like problems were more than she could handle. And so she started scratching herself. And after the excitement of scratching wore off, she started cutting herself. And can I stop and say this? Parents, make sure your kids don't bully. Make sure we need to love one another. Amen. We need to love one another, but not what they can do for us, but for who they are. God loves them all. Amen. God looks down this morning. God doesn't have pets. He loves all of us. Amen. Aren't we glad he does? Aren't we glad that God loves us? And we can sing that song knowing that, hey, wait a minute, no matter what we do, God still loves us. But as we get into the scripture this morning, you might say, I don't have any of those things, but you might not have an addiction, but you might be here this morning. You have a giant. You know, it's that giant in your life that maybe no one knows about but you and God. And you might be here this morning and you might be struggling with something and you might be to the point in your life where you just cannot go on any longer. I said this in Sunday school. It amazes me how, but we all do it. And we're all, have done it one time or another, how problems can be in our lives. But boy, once we get to church, everything seems to be okay. Preacher, it amazes me the power of the blacktop of a Baptist church. You know what I'm talking about? Boy, you can fight all the way to church. I mean, dad's screaming and hollering and mom's slapping the kids and the kids are just ready to go. And all of a sudden, the front tires hit the Baptist church parking lot. All of a sudden, oh, hey.
Amen.
How you doing? Oh, look, there's the preacher. Oh, praise the Lord. He's looking good. Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, and you go in and you go to Sunday school class and you drink the coffee, if y'all do that. Drink the coffee. And eat the donuts, whatever. And I mean, everything is fine. But while it's going on, you're inside, on the inside, you're miserable. And I said, boy, everything's fine. And boy, you come into the church and the choir sings and preacher gets up and preaches. And every once in a while, you'll give a holy grunt. And then you on your way out, boy, you shake the preacher. Preacher, that was the best message you ever hear that? Okay, good. Watch them people. No, but anyway, preacher, that's the best. None of y'all will tell him that again. I'm sorry. But, boy, it's the best message you ever preached. The choir sounded good, man. I mean, it was perfect. You get in the car and the front tires hit the highway. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, praise God. I'll tell you what, that preacher, 5 minutes longer than he normally preached. I know you don't hear, but they're thinking it. Okay? No, just kidding. And I tell you what, the choir, nothing went right. The choir didn't sound, but by the way, choir, you sounded great. Okay. I'm just being that person with them cars. Okay. And I tell you what, and the people who did the special music, I mean, he hit one chord off. You didn't hit anything off, man. You did great, but I'm just playing this game. I don't want you stepping going, really? I did? But you know what? And then we'll talk about the people who are on the street corners. Well, I'll tell you what, they go down to McDonald's and flip hamburgers, they get a job. Anybody ever said that?
Yeah.
I've said it. I have. But we all have those giants. And we all know how to cover them. And I don't know what your giant is this morning here. It could be an unforgiving spirit. It could be anger. It could be depression. It could be bitterness. I believe this, that revival is not coming to America because I believe this. We have some people sitting in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, pews with a bitter spirit,
amen,
an unforgiving spirit. And folks, we need to understand this. On the cross, what did God say? Father, forgive.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm not minimalizing what you might be bitter about. I'm just saying the only one's getting hurt is you. Hey, we need to understand that whatever that giant is that's keeping us from fully enjoying the Christian life and fully enjoying able to serve Jesus Christ, we need to get rid of them. We're going to tell you how to do that this morning. No matter what it is, and the list can go on. Maybe it's worry. We have a lot of people sitting around worried about what's going to happen. They worry. Can I tell you what's something about worry? Worry replaces faith. We just got to have faith in God. That God's got everything in control. And it could be resentment or maybe even the drugs, alcohol, pornography, guilt. The list goes on, but we all have them. Anytime that you want to serve the Lord, the devil always brings that up. And can I tell you something about that also? Maybe this morning your giant is your past. Hey, the next time the devil brings up your past, you just remind him of his future. Hey, the next time the devil wants to say, but you did this, say, but hey, can I tell you where you're going? Hey, can I tell you about your future? He'll flee you. Hey, but you'll never be able to do that if you're not in God's Word. You need to get in God's Word. Hey, you can be here today, and no matter who, but no matter what's going on, hey, you can have the victory over it today. Just as David won the victory over Goliath, you can have victory. I think it's about time that when Christians sing about victory in Jesus, we know it. We do it. Amen. Hey, the songs we sang this morning, every Christian in this room should have been smiling.
Yeah.
We should have just been having a smile. You say, well, I can't sing. Just move your lips.
Amen.
Can I help you? You say, but I don't know the words. Can I help you? If you'll sing watermelon, watermelon, watermelon to any song, you'll get through it. Amen? Okay? There'll be song. I'll be in church and I'll close the book because the song director doesn't go. And then on the last, they don't do that. Brother, you got to help us out. We're not all paying attention, okay? We'll close the book, and my wife will let me go, now what? And I'll go, watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. It works every time. Because people are looking at you and all they see is your lip moving and it's moving to the song. So I'm just trying to do your music lesson here this morning too, okay? Hey, but we all have the problems. We all have the giants. But I know this, David won the battle. But David didn't win it, God did. David was just obedient. That's all David was obedient. You say, why did he pick up five stones? I don't care why he picked them up. I just know one did answer. And it was because of obedience. But hey, listen there. There's some things I want to talk to you about this morning. Israel had come to a crossroads in this section of their life. Maybe you can imagine a crossroads, maybe in your neighborhood, how you get to a crossroads. And boy, in front of you is a road. And there's a road to your left, a road to your right, and a road behind you. There's a crossroads. And as Israel got there, they understood this, that as they looked in front of them, they realized that the land they were getting ready to go to, hey, it was God's property. The Bible says this, if you will, look in verse 2. The Bible says, verse 1 here, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day and go into and possess a nation greater and mightier than thou thyself, cities great and fenced up, and the people great and tall, and the children of Ammonites whom thou knowest and who have heard, who can stand against them. Hey, Israel was looking at a property that was being lived in by the Ammonites, but it was God's property. Can I tell you something this morning? Your life belongs to God. Hey, your life belongs to God. Hey, from the young baby that was just born the other day, that baby's life belongs to God. Hey, and we have to understand this, that this is not our body. It's God's body. And we have to be very careful how we treat God's body. Amen. About a few years ago, I came down with a heart problem called cardiomyopathy. And I've got a heart problem. And the average person sitting in this room, brother, you're a state trooper, right? Does he look like a state trooper?
Yeah. Yes, he does.
He does, doesn't he? I want that picture. I want his name, too, because if I get pulled over in Virginia on the way home, I'm going to say, oh, I know him. And they're going to do one of two things. They're going to let me go or put me in jail. No, I'm just kidding. But this guy's probably in good health. You come here. Do you mind? What's your name?
Joe.
Come here, Joe. You're just average Joe, aren't you? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But here's Brother Joe. Now, Brother Joe's in heart is good.
Amen.
Okay, you got to do this, brother. They ain't going to listen. There you go. Okay. If you don't do this, they ain't going to say anything. I'll tell you that right now. But Joe's heart's good.
Amen.
Bro, Joe's a good man.
Amen.
Oh, okay. He's like, okay. So his heart infraction is probably 65 to 75%. That's what the normal is. Because he's in good health. He's a state trooper. He can chase people down in his car.
Yeah. Amen.
But he's in good health. Thank you, brother. I just wanted to bring it up because I made a crack in Sunday school about his hairdo, and he told me this morning that it's in style. He's just been waiting for it to get there. Amen. My infractions on a good day are about 19%. At that time, they gave me about 19 months to live. That's been 12 years ago, I think.
Amen.
So good, doctors don't know everything.
Amen.
But every time I go to the doctor, I had a procedure done not long ago where they went up through my heart and they went down because I had a valve that wouldn't close and they had to put a clip on that valve. And you say, what did you do? I slept the whole time. I had a fun time. But before I went in, after they got me prepped for the surgery and where I couldn't run, the doctor came in and said, now listen, once we do this procedure, you can no longer drink coffee. I said, really? She goes, oh, but you can drink decaf. Really? That's not, you might as well just left right there. And then now, not only that, you can no longer have any kind of fried food like bacon.
Wow.
I know. I mean, who said life is over? I know. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and shoot this man up. It's over with. Amen. You know, which means that I cannot have fat back. Anybody know what fat back is?
Amen.
Son, anybody ready to have a hallelujah fit? I can't have any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I go to Golden Corral, and I'm hoping my wife goes to the bathroom just once. Because if she goes to the bathroom, I'm hitting that fat back. My wife's from Ohio. She didn't even know what fatback was. We went to a restaurant not long ago. She says, what is this? I said, what is this? This is fatback. Then she asked me, what do you do with it? You eat it? She says, what do you do with the fat on it? I said, you chew it. When it gets done, put it behind your ear and chew it later. Amen? They told me I couldn't have any of that. And we laugh at that. They told me I couldn't have no more Pepsi. I mean, I'm down to bread and water. But I said all that to say this. If I do something that, if I eat something that I know is wrong for God's temple, I'm just as guilty as a drug addict. I'm just as guilty as a person who drinks or smokes or anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we all have those giants, and we have to understand that this is God's temple. How do we honor God's temple? Brother, what's your favorite vehicle? What's your favorite car? Don't say. What's your favorite car? No, a Ford. Okay. Ford. What's a good Ford? Is there any? Ford what?
I got a police interceptor. I like it.
What's your... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, his favorite... What is there a nice... Like Camaro to Chevy. Is there anything with Ford?
Mustang.
Oh, Ford Mustang. Okay. I'm preaching. Okay. I didn't go like this. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. But he has this Mustang, and I go up to him and say, man, I want to take my wife out. Can I borrow it? Let's say it's a cherry red convertible. Oh, his wife's like, they're going car shopping this afternoon. And boy, he's got it shined up. I mean, it looks awesome. I get in it. I put the top down. He's a 60-year-old man having a good old time in a convertible. Can 60-year-old people have a good time? You better believe it. I'm over here with their teenagers because I want them to get involved too. Amen? And so I borrow it. And we go out and we're on a date and come back. Next morning, I bring it back to him. I've hit every mud puddle in the county. In the back, he opens up, and the back seat is full of empty cans of Pepsi, of course. I mean, it's just a trashy mess. How many thinks if he asked him again, he ought to loan it to me? Shouldn't. Well, why we mess God's body up that same way? Hello. Hey, we look at things we shouldn't look at. There's things on TV that we watch we shouldn't watch. I'm going to meddling now, ain't I? Hey, we go out to eat. My wife will tell you, I'm not a happy camper when I go eating and I can't have things I want. But I do know this, when I wake up the next morning, I feel pretty good. I'm glad I didn't. But I mean, if we're supposed to protect our bodies as God's temple, and we should. We need to understand that everything we ought to watch what we say. Hello? We ought to watch what we listen to. Hello? We've been in churches recently and I thank God for a church that is old fashioned. I love the music. But we've been in some churches it's a bebopping. Man, I got saved out of that. You know what I'm saying? I got saved out of it, and I gotta hurry because it's already 5 after. I only got 2 minutes. Is that correct? Is that correct? Oh, my soul. So Israel came to in front of them was God's property. When they looked to the left, they realized that, wait a minute, God had a plan for them. What did God say? God said, go over and what? Possess? He said, go over and take over. Hey, can I tell you something, church? God has a plan for your life. Hey, God has a plan for this church in 2016. The preacher stood up here and he said, hey, I want to go in this direction. Hey, we ought to get behind him and say, hey, bless God. Hey, there's a plan. God has a plan. God's not, forgot about Landmark Baptist Church. God's got more things he wants us to do. And we have to understand that, hey, there's a plan for our lives. When they look to the right, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, can I tell you what God's plan for you is? Get saved. Hey, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, can I tell you what God's plan for you is? Hey, have that victory. Amen. Hey, then not only that, they look over to the right at that crossroads and they saw God's promise. You know what God promised them? He said, I want you to go over and possess it. And God promised them, if you'll obey, hey, I'll give you what you need. You say, my goodness, how are we going to do all this stuff maybe this coming year? Hey, just be obedient. God will handle the rest. Hey, God's promised us. God promised us eternal life. Isn't that great? Hey, God said, hey, listen, man, once you're saved, you're always saved. You say, can I live any way I want to? I believe this, that if you get saved and you follow God, God will change your wonder. You can do it. Hey, not only that, but when he looked behind him, here's what happened. Behind him was that giant. You know that giant when you get ready to do what God has planned for you to do and a giant steps on your shoulder and goes, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. Where's the money going to come? Or what about your job? No, hey, listen, just let God handle the giant. You just be obedient. You say, but wait a minute. Man, how are we going to do this? Because God promises. And the song we used to sing, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hey, this book is full of promises. And it's not maybe, it's promises. God said, hey, if I promised you, I'll do it. Hey, God's got a promise. And we tell these people on Friday, hey, God's promised that if you'll give your life to him, he'll help you with your addiction. Hey, if you give God your life, he'll help you with your stronghold this morning. But that giant comes up. Three things about giant, we're going home. Number one, the giant is bigger than you are. Look in verse 1. The Bible says this, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go and to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, city great and fenced up to heaven. Hey, number one, your giant's bigger than you are. But we're not supposed to live and dwell with our giants. What did he say to Israel? He said, hey, I want you to, hey, pass over and possess. He didn't say, hey, pass over and stay. He said, I want you to pass over and possess it. Hey, it doesn't matter what you're struggling with today. God will give you the victory. Hey, it doesn't matter what this church might face this coming year. And Brother Eddie works with the Virginia Assembly and a lot of things we don't know about. But can I tell you something? God knows all about it. Not only that, number two. Hey, your giants are intimidating. This coming year can be very intimidating for this church. It can be intimidating for individuals. See, we don't know what we are going to face. That young lady who had that baby had no idea what she was going to face when she heard that word leukemia. And can I tell you something? You might hear it. It might not be very big to you, but if it happens to you, it's a very big word. And as a church, boy, pray for God's will. Pray that God's will be done. Hey, because wait a minute, the giants are intimidating. They are bigger than we are. But remember one thing. You got something your giants don't have. You got God. Amen. Hey, there's going to be things come up this year in your life and you're not going to know how to handle it. Just realize this. Hey, give it to God and let him have it. Hey, take your burdens to the cross and leave them there. Not only that, but look, hey, your giants are infamous. God told them that they were to, they'd be facing people great and tall. An alcoholic will be told, hey, you can't overcome your alcohol. You cannot overcome your addictions. There's no hope. Can I tell you something? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. There is hope. Amen. It doesn't matter how intimidating they are or how big or how hard you might feel it is. Hey, God will give you the victory if we'll give it to him. Real quick, and I'm going to hurry. I'm going to finish right here. True story. Lady, a preacher went into this church, was preaching revival one week. Monday night, a woman came to the altar just weeping, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Friday night, the woman came to the altar, and the evangelist looked over to the preacher and said, preacher, what's wrong with the lady? He said, well, I'll be honest with you. She's for 25 years, she's been trying to give up cigarettes, and nothing works. He said, preacher, you mind if I go down and pray with her? And he said, that's fine. The evangelist went down and knelt next to the lady. He said, ma'am, what are you here for? She goes, oh, I want to give up cigarettes. He goes, how sick? She goes, I'll do anything. Whatever I have to do, I'll do it. Preacher said, are you sure? And she said, yeah. And the evangelist said this, dear Lord, true story, you know this lady's heart. She really wants to give up cigarettes. And she said, oh, yes, please, God. He said, so, Lord, the next time she puts a cigarette to her mouth, kill her. She stops. Whoa, 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 whoa. Preacher, what are you doing? He goes, were you serious? Amen. Hey, church, are we serious? A year later, the preacher came back and said, he was standing on the platform, back door, the woman walked in. And when she walked in, she looked on the platform, she went. Hey, can I ask you this morning? Are you serious about serving God? You say, but man, where are we going to get the resources for RU? Are you serious about serving God? Let him do the rest. Amen. Hey, listen. Not only that, real quick. Your giants are bigger. God is bigger than your giants. Look in verse 4 real quick. Speak now, thou in thy heart, after thou hast said, the Lord God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me into this possession, to possess this land. But for the wickedness of this nation, the Lord hath drove them out from before thee. Hey, number 2, understand this, that, hey, it's not you, it's God. Number 1, your giants are bigger than you are. Number 2, God's bigger than your giants. Number 3, hey, God will go before us. You notice the Bible says that God went in before as a consuming fire. If you ever see newscasts and they'll say, boy, the house is consumed, that means the house is engulfed in fire. That the fire has taken over. My Bible says this, that no matter what your problem is, if you'll give it to God, He'll take it over for you. He'll take it from you. But look at this finally. Not only that, but the Bible says this in verse 3. At the best part. And he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said. Hey, number 1, this morning, your giant is bigger than you are. Number 2, God's bigger than your giants. Number 3, God will go and fight before us. Number 4, understand this. That when God takes care of your problem, don't let it come back. I remember many, many times, I'll go to the altar and I'll pray, Lord, help me. And I'll get back up and I'll go back to my seat and I'll still think about it. 2.5 years ago, when they asked my wife and I to pray about becoming missionaries, preacher, I'd always wanted to do something for God like that. And we prayed about it and we said, yeah, we will. My wife was a medical assistant at that time, and so she worked as a medical assistant. You say, what's the difference between a medical assistant and a nurse? About $10 an hour. That's about it. They do all the same things. And so we had been traveling just on weekends only, and we came to the point where we felt that maybe she needed to give up her job. And I can remember we set a date of May the 30th. It was a Wednesday. That morning, my wife got up and left work and said, that's it. Boy, when I come home today, we'll be able to travel. And boy, all day long, I was like, yes. 5 o'clock came, my wife got out of the car, came in the house, goes, that's it, now we can travel. And can I be honest with you? Preacher, my faith went from here to here. Because all of a sudden I got thinking, oh, wait a minute, no more checks from Baptist Hospital. And I thought, oh my goodness. Within 3 hours, this is a Wednesday, before we got to church that night, we'd already booked 3 meetings of people I hadn't even called, they just heard about it. See, my giant was bigger than I am, but God was bigger than my giant. I want to look at you. I'm going to look one more thing. I'm going to show you something because I want to make sure we get this morning. If you look back in verse 3, he says this. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he that goeth before thee as a consuming fire, and he what? Shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. A lot of addicts and a lot of us deal with the same problem. We don't want to let God have complete control. Boy, when God takes a habit from you or God gives you victory, hey, don't let doubt come back. You know how David won the battle with Goliath? David never forgot the past victories that God had given him. Hey, 2016, let's remember the victories God gave us here in 2015. Amen? God's been good to us, hasn't he? Hey, I've not been here but 3 or 4 times, so I'm not sure about this, but I can tell you this, I guarantee he's been good to this church. God's been very good to my wife and I. God's allowed us to travel up and down the highways in a Ford Taurus, 225,000 miles. Transmissions going on it. Went to the shop the other day and the guy goes, man, your tie rods are bad. We got in the car, drove down the road. Why? It's God's car. God's car. My wife goes, what happens if we break down? I said, honey, don't worry about it. I promise you that if the car breaks down, I'll make sure the doors are locked while you walk to get help. No, I'm just kidding. God's been good to us, folks. But we have our giants. We do. My wife and I have our giants. What's your giant this morning? Won't you come this morning, and we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the pianist comes to play. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want how many to be honest and say, Bro Bobby, if I die right now, I'm 100% for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand all over this room? I know I'm saved.